Thank you for choosing to listen to this blog on protein and muscle mass being your best friends in your 40s and why you need to make use of them. So you've likely heard me and other health professionals bang on about the importance of getting enough protein into your meals. And today I wanted to break down for you exactly why protein is so incredibly important, especially if you're a woman in your 40s. But if you're in your 30s, please don't stop reading, because everything I discuss in this post is important for you to start doing now, because the earlier the better, but equally it's never too late either. Now, women massively underestimate how important it is for them to both maintain and continue to build muscle mass. And this is something I see time and time again, if not every day, when I'm in my discussions with women, whether that's friends, family, and clients. Muscle mass is your organ of longevity. What does that actually mean? When I say longevity, I mean a longer, healthier, fitter, and happier life. It's not about getting Popeye-style biceps and Schwarzenegger thighs, both of which are great if you want them, but having optimal muscle mass is key for healthy aging, for protecting your bones, for healthy hormone balance, to keep your weight and body fat in check, and to have a much better experience of both perimenopause and menopause. Protein is a key food group for helping you to both maintain and build your muscle mass. So simply put, protein and muscle mass are your best friends in your 40s and beyond. They always were, but just even more so now. So let me give you a little bit of background. So from around age 35, your hormones start to change. Estrogen starts to fluctuate more and more, and progesterone starts to decline. And this causes our bodies to become better at storing fat and worse at maintaining muscle mass. Unfortunately, we also naturally start to lose muscle mass from our mid-30s. And all of this just has a host of unfortunate side effects, including weaker bones, more body fat, especially around the middle, increased inflammation, and more muscle loss. So it can be a vicious cycle. But we don't have to accept this, because there is just so much we can do with our nutrition and lifestyle to slow it all down. Strength training and optimal protein intake slows it all down. So that makes these two things a must, and all women should be tapping into these wonderful tools in their 40s and beyond if they're not already doing so. So even if you're in your 50s and 60s reading this post, if you haven't started doing these things, it's never too late, and I really do encourage you to get started now. Exercise plays a crucial role in your hormone health, and never more than in your late 30s and during perimenopause and into the menopause, and even after, like I just said. The main goal of your exercise in your 40s isn't weight loss, although it could, of course, help with that and be a natural side effect. But instead, the main goal of your exercise in your 40s should be to improve insulin sensitivity. So that's how effectively your cells suck up glucose from your bloodstream. And to reduce inflammation and to build muscle. Those should be the three main goals of your exercise in your 40s. And if you're doing exercise that goes against those three things, then it's really not going to be very helpful for you. So, as I said a minute ago, we naturally start to lose muscle mass from around our early to mid 30s. And this is something called sarcopenia. It's natural. It's basically the loss of muscle mass that we start to experience specifically related to aging. But yes, that does start in our mid 30s. Sarcopenia is Latin for lack of flesh, and is defined as the degenerative loss of skeletal muscle mass, quality and strength, and the replacement of muscle fibers with fat. So you can see there that sarcopenia, this natural muscle loss from our mid-30s, will result in us becoming better at storing fat, because we are replacing that muscle mass. It's being replaced with fat. So I'm sure you can imagine how unhelpful losing muscle mass is for our strength, our fitness, our body weight, specifically our body fat, body composition. And like I said, it's not just about strength and body weight, although these are both crucial for health. It's so much more than that, because muscle is an organ, and the organ of longevity, as I said earlier. Muscle mass loss impairs your strength and weakens your bones, and that can lead to frailty and falls. Plus, it directly contributes to the development of osteoporosis, depression, and even cognitive decline. Now, sarcopenia is a natural part of aging, begins after the age of 30 when you begin to lose as much as 3 to 5% of your muscle per decade. However, we can counteract that loss and maintain as much muscle mass as we can. Plus, we can continue to build new muscle mass so long as we do the right things as part of our diet and lifestyle habits to support it. Habits that can prevent you from losing muscle mass include lowering stress, reducing or avoiding alcohol, and eating enough calories, so that's energy, from the right foods every day, including an optimal amount of protein with every meal every day. The best way to build and maintain muscle mass is to move your body, of course, but particularly with resistance, strength, and strength training. This can simply be resistance using your own body weight, such as lunging, squatting, planking, press-ups, uphill running or sprinting, and even yoga and walking. And then even better, once that becomes kind of too easy for your muscles, so they're no longer actually building muscle from those exercises, you would then start to include lifting, pushing and pulling heavier weights, such as doing a bench press in the gym, deadlifts, barbell squats and lunges, actually using weights and progressively getting heavier with those weights over time. Strength training has been found to have really favorable effects on your body's hormones and improve hot flushes, cognition, so that's your brain health. So think fog, if you have foggy brain, trouble concentrating, difficulty making decisions, forgetfulness, that's all part of cognition. Strength training has also been shown to improve mood, insulin sensitivity, so that's good blood sugar regulation and prevention of type 2 diabetes, for example, and fat around the middle. And it's also been shown to strengthen and protect your bones. If we have enough muscle mass going into late perimenopause, into menopause and beyond, we really can, that can take us so far into preventing, you know, frailty and falls and osteoporosis. We don't have to accept those things. If we build muscle now and continue to do so, and as I said, it's never too late to start, we really can protect ourselves in the future. So protein helps you build lean muscle. Dietary protein is really important for stimulating muscle mass. Without it, we just won't be able to build as much muscle mass as we want to. Plus, it fills you up and keeps your cravings at bay. So that's all really helpful for maintaining weight, keeping your body fat in check, especially around the middle. Protein is the most satiating macronutrient, which means you'll stay fuller for longer with a high protein meal or snack. So how do you know how much you need? An optimal intake of protein per day is around 1.5 grams of protein per kilogram of your own body weight. So the absolute minimum to aim for is a gram per kilo of body weight, but the optimal recommendation really is the way to go rather than the minimal. So some people need anywhere between 1.5 and 2 grams of protein per kilo of their body weight. It really does depend on their level of activity through the week, their goals, their health status, for example. So if you weigh 70 kilos, then the optimal intake per day would be 70 kilos times 1.5 grams of protein equals 105 grams. And you would split that out evenly across your meals throughout the day. Now, I like my clients and myself to be eating a minimum of 100 grams of protein per day. But once you pass age 35, this really could not be more important, and especially in your 40s. If you're going below 100 grams a day, you might not be able to build or maintain the muscle mass that you need to. So, do you eat enough protein? Here's a list of some common protein foods and their protein content to help you see if you currently eat enough. So do refer, obviously you're listening to the audio version, so do refer to the text version of this post for the list. But I can just go through a few of them here. So for example, 100 grams of cooked chicken breast, so that's the cooked weight, not the raw weight, is around 28 to 30 grams of protein. 100 grams of cooked grass-fed beef steak is around 25 grams. One medium egg is around 5 grams of protein. 100 grams of cooked prawns, 24 grams of protein. 100 grams of any other kind of cooked fish is 20 to 22 grams of protein. And so on and so on. So do look at the text version of the post to get a good list, because I've also included natural yogurt, feta cheese, chickpeas, lentils, pumpkin seeds, mixed seeds, almond butter, for example. So if you have a look at this list, you can then start to see, do you have enough protein? What kind of foods you're eating mostly during the day to get your protein? And are you hitting around 100 grams a day? So if you need to start hitting a higher protein goal each day, then what can you start to do from today to get yourself closer to that optimal amount? Start with your breakfast, as a protein-rich breakfast really is vital for balancing your blood sugar and energy-regulating hormones straight off the bat. Then once you're nailing a great breakfast every morning effortlessly, you can start to improve upon your other meals. Plus, breakfast is the meal that most women struggle to get enough protein into. So here are some protein-rich breakfast ideas for you to try. How about dinner for breakfast? So what did you have for dinner last night? Was it protein-rich? Could you save enough and have it the next morning? Breakfast doesn't have to have its own rules. We've been you know, all of us reading this post today have been born into this society of eating sugary breakfast, cereal or toast, something really quick. But we can unlearn those patterns and we can start to eat anything for breakfast, and that can become our norm. So maybe chicken, turkey, fish, beef, lamb. These are all great options for breakfast with leftover veggies heated up or a salad vegetables. Sometimes I have leftover lamb mince curry and vegetables topped with a poached egg in the morning. Omelettes are a great option because you can add so much into them, such as smoked salmon, chopped chicken sausages, chopped vegetables like peppers, mushrooms, asparagus, tomatoes, spinach, kale, broccoli and onions. You can do 3 eggs instead of just 2. You could also whisk some silken tofu, which is a particular tofu with a nice soft texture that you can actually whisk into eggs, into omelettes, either scramble them or into omelettes to get more protein as well that way. Smoked salmon with poached or scrambled eggs and spinach and tomatoes on rye or sourdough toast. A protein smoothie using a good quality unflavored protein powder such as Pulsin or Sun Warrior, Form Nutrition or Bulk. These are all great options for unflavored, clean, quality protein powders. A great breakfast smoothie would also include things like ground flaxseed, pumpkin and sunflower seeds, coconut oil or MCT oil, avocado, nut butter, leafy greens and minimal fruits, such as just a handful of mixed berries, which can be fresh or frozen. What other ideas have you got? Give yourself time to gradually get to where you need to be with this. It doesn't have to happen overnight. Simply knowing this information is a great place to start. And then once you're naturally and effortlessly eating enough protein every day, you'll never need to look back. And trust me, you will not want to. So I really hope this has been helpful and insightful for you. So if you have any questions or feedback, do send me an email to francesca@francescaliparotti.com. And if you're not already part of my email community, then join us, because I do share my best and most helpful content inside my email community, as well as via the blog. But the email community is a weekly dose of empowering and actionable information to help you to rebalance and thrive with vibrant health and happiness in your 40s. So click the link inside the text version of this post for the sign up link to join the email list. And if you'd like to chat with me about working on a one-to-one basis or joining the next round of my group program, which starts in September, it's a 12-week group program called Rebalance and Thrive, drop me an email again to francesca@francescaliparotti.com, or you can click the link inside the text version of this post to book yourself in for a free call.